So I was meditating about this evening's service. We wanted to have service in the evenings at a non-traditional time to give our sister churches an opportunity to fellowship, and that is done. But we were also hoping that maybe we could encourage some of the local people to come and attend as well. And as I was meditating on what kind of sermon I should bring this first evening service, of course, no, that's very dangerous, right? Brother Boyd knows exactly how dangerous that is. It came to my mind that perhaps we should go to the first sermon. Now, I'm not going to argue with you if you think the first sermon was preached by the angels or by Gabriel. But I want to turn to the third chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. And then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruit meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with fire and with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Now, I want you to remember something. This message was not preached to the unchurched. Okay? This was not a message that went out to the world at large. Nothing wrong with preaching this message to the world at large. But it is not a call for every child of Adam to repent and be baptized. It is a call to the children of God to repent and be baptized. These people are the children of Israel. They are God's chosen people. Now, I do not mean to imply that each and every one of them was embraced in the covenant of grace. No, that's not my point. But God set aside Abraham. God sanctified Isaac. God sanctified Jacob. And he made a covenant with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And Jacob's children were his chosen people. Now that was a metaphor. Okay? For us today. That was natural Israel. And if we are what we believe to be, we are spiritual Israel. Remember, Paul tells us they're not all Israel that are of Israel. But that's a different point. The point I'm trying to make to you today is that this was never a message that was directed to the nations, that was directed to the children of Adam at large. This is a message that is directed to God's people, you and me. Repent and be baptized. Repent. You're thinking, well, why do I need to repent? I've been a member of the church for decades. It's been so long I'm making sure I can remember when I was baptized. You know how that goes sometimes? But no, that message is to me. And to you. Catherine probably barely remembers a time when she wasn't baptized. Okay? She can hardly remember a time when she was not obedient unto the Lord her God, following Him in gospel baptism. But that message is for you. For all of us. This message of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is our message. It's our message. So first of all, I want you to understand, this was wonderful. All of Israel was longing for, waiting for the kingdom of God, that promised kingdom that would come. Many of them didn't know what it was. And maybe sometime the Lord will give me unction and I'll talk about what the kingdom of heaven is. But if I start down that path, I won't cover what I want to cover this afternoon. Okay? I'm going to let that rabbit just hop right away. Okay? But I will tell you this, the kingdom of heaven is not what most of the world thinks it is. Okay? Because Jesus, who cannot lie and does not change, told Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." Because of the immutability of Christ, great big word means Jesus doesn't change. He's not like us. We change all the time, right? Just look at me, okay? Now, some of you don't remember a time. My mom is here. She remembers a time when I had hair. Okay? We change. Okay? I used to be the unsung hero of the high school football team. I know I don't look like it anymore. But we change. Okay? We all change. Jesus doesn't change. Okay? My kids will tell you, I change my mind sometimes. They don't like it. But I do change my mind sometimes. And they sometimes work really, really hard to make me change my mind. Okay? And alas, works far more often than it ought to. But Jesus doesn't change His mind. And that's to our benefit. Lord, is that to our benefit? Malachi says, the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Woo! If the Lord changed His feelings the way high school kids change their feelings, we'd be in a world of hurt, right? You remember the soap opera, don't you? My kids talk about it. So far, they've had enough sense to stay out of it, but there's coming a day. Sooner than I want. Isn't it, Brother Rob? Sooner than I want, but it's coming. We change. All of us change. One day, these little girls will be bringing their own little girls. Because you remember when their mom was their size, don't you? You know, Brother Boyd and I were talking when we were eating about how when we got started here years ago, we had fathers in the ministry. We had Elder James Compton. We had Elder James Bartabal. We had Elder Blair Kilby. We had, you know, Dwayne Fletcher was a pastor here, and he was a father to Brother Andrew. We had all of these fathers in the ministry. And now it's us. You're like, whoa, wait a minute. How'd that happen? You know, how did that happen? Wait a minute. How'd that happen? I can't be an old guy. I mean, I just can't be an old guy. You know that happened? You ever had this feeling? There's no way I can be old. I can't be old. But my baby sister's a grandmother. Okay? How can I claim to be young when my baby sister's a grandmother? We change. Jesus doesn't change. And if He told Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world," and it was not of His world in Pilate's day, it's not of this world now. Okay? It is in the world, but it is not of the world. And everybody's waiting for Jesus to come down and do what He said He wasn't going to do. My kingdom is not of this world. It wasn't then, it isn't now, it will not be. Okay? With all my heart, I would not be here if I did not believe with all my heart, neither would you, that this is a city-state in the kingdom of heaven. And I'm going to let the church civic grab it, just hop right on away. But if I did not believe with all my heart this was a part of the kingdom of heaven, I wouldn't be here. Oh, why would I do this? Why would I drive the miles? Why would I? I mean, there are a whole lot of things we could be doing right now. I'm sure there's a whole lot of things that are more entertaining than me, okay? But I'm not here to entertain. Sometimes I'll say some things are funny because that are funny, I think. My daughters don't think I'm as funny as I think I am, okay? Because you'll remember that, okay? They will remember that, okay? If I want them to remember a point, I need to work their mother into it. They will always remember the point, okay? These girls will probably remember the point I made about their parents this morning at Columbia for a long time. Okay? Don't mean to pick on you guys. Really don't mean to single you out. But the gospel is about us. You know, we read about people that have been dead for millennia. But it's about us. The message is our message. The gospel is our gospel. It's just as pertinent, just as valid, just as timely now as it was when John preached it. Nothing's changed. Well, technology's changed. They'd have had to have fire in these lights. But they did. They had lights in that day, I know, because Paul preached so long, somebody fell out of the rafters and died. Okay? Now, since I can't bring you back to life, we're going to stop in time to get you out of here by 7, because I don't want anybody falling. That's why there are no rafters here. Okay? But he was preaching at night, so we've got biblical authority to preach at night. Maybe an admonition to be careful about preaching at night, but we've got biblical authority to preach at night. Okay? The gospel's not changed. It's ours. It's us. We haven't changed. Humankind hasn't changed. Technology's changed. But that doesn't mean anything. People have the same problems now that they did when they were my age and they were mom's age. Really the same problems. It's just that Facebook makes it go faster. YouTube makes it move quicker. Snapchat makes it faster. There were people that spread rumors when you were in high school, weren't they? Now they use Snapchat and they spread a lot faster, but it's the same problem, right? Although, I don't know. They spread so fast when I was in high school. I don't know if Snapchat can really make it faster. You know what I'm saying? It's the same problems. Were there bullies when you went to school? There's still bullies in schools. There really are. It hasn't changed. One thing I can assure every child in this room, your parents were once your age. You know, Emma, you look at your mom and dad, and it probably doesn't look like they could have ever possibly been your age, right? That would have been in the dark ages, right? You can just see your father hunting the wild brontosaurus, right? But I can guarantee you, he was your age, and it wasn't that long ago. And he remembers it like it was yesterday. He remembers it better than last week. Okay? My grandmother lived to be 93 years old. She couldn't tell you what she had for breakfast, but she could still recite the poem she learned in first grade. And she recited it so many times, we can still recite the poem that she learned in first grade, and the one that her friend learned in first grade. But that's beside the point. Sometimes we remember what happened long ago better than we remember what happened yesterday. And kids, your parents know what it's like to be your age. And parents, remember what it's like to be their age. And I'm going to quote Albus Dumbledore, and that's probably not necessarily a good thing. But he said, it's the fault of an old man not to consider the feelings of a young man, because every old man was once a young man and he knows how they think. But a young man can't consider the feelings of an old man because he's never been an old man. Okay? So we, as old men, need to use the wisdom that the Lord has given us. We've all been young men, right? We've all made stupid mistakes as young men. And kids, just because your parents made a mistake doesn't mean you need to make the same mistake. We're telling you so you don't make the same mistake. We have been there. It's not good. Okay? Trust me, it is not good. Don't go there. Just because Daddy did it does not mean you should do it. If he says don't do it, maybe there's a good reason why he says don't do it. He doesn't want you to wind up with the scars he has. And we all bear them, don't we? We all bear the scars of our mistakes. So, repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay? That message didn't go over very well with the righteous, did it? The scribes and the Pharisees, those that considered themselves righteous, who didn't think they had any need to repent, they rejected that message. Why? Because it hurt their pride. Okay? Some of them may have been children of God, but it hurt their pride. And they stumbled and fell. And they could not enter into the kingdom because they would not humble themselves to repent. Jesus said, except you become as a little child, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Everybody has something to repent of. Every one of us. I've got things I need to repent of. Brother Boyd's got things he needs to repent of. Brother Rob's got things he needs to repent of. And I'm sure Sister Karen, as saintly as she is, has things that she has to repent of. Okay, we all, if we honestly believe what we teach about depravity, sometimes I think we just say the words and forget what it means. Do we? When we sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, do we know that we are wretched? Because I can tell you, that song means a whole lot more when you know you are wretched, saved by grace. John's message was repent. None of you are good enough. Okay? You know yourselves and your Adamic nature. None of you are good enough. Okay? But through the grace of God, because of His work, you are all called. We don't come forward to be baptized because we're good enough. We don't come forward to be baptized because we think we can contribute to the church. I want every one of you to contribute to the church. But that's not what we come forward. We come forward because Jesus has saved us with His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And all of our hope is in His death and His burial and His resurrection. The miracle of the gospel message is you have to repent. The miracle is you can repent. You understand that? The world would have you believe everybody can repent. That's not true. Esau sought repentance with tears. Now, he sought it through murder, but he sought repentance through tears, and it wasn't given to him. Okay? Repentance is a gift of God. Okay? That burden of sin, believe it or not, it is a gift from God. It doesn't sound like a gift. It sounds like a really bad gift. You know, we've all got a kind of bad Christmas presents, right? You ever got a bad birthday present, right? That sounds like a bad gift, doesn't it? I'm going to give you the burden of sin. That sounds like a really bad, that's worse than coal, right? I'm going to give you the burden of sin. Do you realize how precious a gift that is? Because the only people who feel the burden of sin are those that are alive. So you have to be alive before you can feel the burden of sin. He didn't give you the burden of sin as a gift. He gave you life as a gift. And you had the burden of sin. It is you didn't feel it when you were dead. Okay? You didn't feel the burden of sin. You were just as much a sinner before the Lord dealt with you. Before the Lord quickened you, before the Lord opened your eyes to see your sin, you were just as much a sinner. But when the Lord dealt with you, now for the first time, you saw your sin. And you felt the weight of your sin. And to you, the message is, repent. Repent. Not only must you repent, but you can repent. And not only that, but the kingdom of heaven is for you. It's yours. Isn't that amazing? In Jesus' day, all of Israel was longing for the kingdom of heaven. They were hoping for the kingdom of heaven. They were looking for the kingdom of heaven. They didn't know what they were looking for, but they were still looking for the kingdom of heaven. And here comes John, and he tells you, it's at hand. Now, we're not talking about heaven's pure world. Heaven's pure world wasn't any more at hand in John's day than it was in Abel's day, or it is today. Okay? When the ground opened up its mouth to receive Abel's blood, Abel's spirit was received by the Lord. Okay? God knew exactly what happened to Abel. Partially because he's omniscient. That means he knows absolutely everything. But largely because he had embraced Abel. And Abel was asleep in the bosom of Jesus. That didn't have to have to wait until the cross. Because in God's eyes, that was a done deal. Because he wasn't waiting for you. He was depending on Jesus, and he knew that Jesus was faithful. He knew that Jesus. And so in God's eyes, even when Abel gave up the ghost, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ was as good as done, because it was as good as done, because Jesus is faithful. He's always been faithful. He will continue to always be faithful. So heaven wasn't any more open then than it is now, or it was in Abel's day. Heaven's always been open to God's people. Because the price has always been paid. Because in God's eyes, it was as good as done. When Paul lists out the things going on in, I believe it's definitely in the Roman letter. I believe it's chapter 8. But you'll find a lot of good stuff looking for it. He talks about, and whom he did foreknow, them he did predestinate. And whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, then he, I think, justified is in there. What I'm really after is the last part where he said glorified. That's in the past tense. He glorified. That's in the past tense. Do you feel glorified? Brethren, I don't feel glorified. There's coming a day when I will be glorified. But when the Apostle Paul spoke that by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he was speaking for a God who is not part of time. He created time. He will destroy time. He's outside of time. I don't understand it, but the Bible teaches it, so I believe it. So as far as God's concerned, it's a done deal. You are glorified in the eyes of God. You, today, right now, stand holy, acceptable in Him, before Him, in love, by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You don't have to wait for judgment day. You don't have to wait for that glorious time when this mortal will put on immortality. That's coming. And this corruptible will put on incorruptible. That's wonderful. But you today stand holy, accepted in the Beloved because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It's a done deal. It's a done deal. And His resurrection, which I said at Mount Carmel, is the thing with the most attestation of any event in history, whatever it is. Whatever you think you know, there's more evidence of the resurrection of Christ than that. Okay? Whatever it is you think you might know, Jesus rose from the dead is a stronger thing. There's more evidence to support that than anything else. Okay? That's the promise of your own resurrection. It is. So the kingdom of heaven under consideration isn't heaven. That's yours. That's yours. It's waiting for you. He went to prepare a place. He said, I go to prepare a place. If it were not so, I would have told you. But there I may, where I may be, there you may be also. The Lord taking care of you. You know, when I go out shopping and I pay for something, I expect to take it home, right? And if I don't take it home, I'm not happy. You know, and the Lord, He made a purchase. And He didn't throw a few paper dollars on the table either. He made that purchase with His own precious blood. And you think He's not going to take it home? Oh, no. He purchased you, body, soul, and spirit, and He is not going to rest until He has you, body, soul, and spirit, in heaven with Him forever and ever and ever. And I will stop there. May the Lord richly bless.